Artist Jason Blaine, born and raised in Pembroke, Ontario, and now living in Nashville, is riding high on the charts with his latest single and video, They Don't Make 'Em Like That Anymore. The song is a tribute to Jason's grandfather and good old-fashioned values. The song is from his latest album, Life So Far. Jason's here to talk about his start in music, some of his musical heroes, songwriting, and of course I'll be playing a couple of his songs. Let's welcome Jason Blaine to the show. Hey, Jason.
How you doing, Dave?
Hey, just terrific. How are you this evening?
I'm doing great, man. I've been looking forward to talking with you.
Awesome. Well, yeah, my pleasure. Great to have you here. Got a couple of great songs from the latest CD to play. Let's start off with They Don't Make 'Em Like That Anymore. This song is really resonating with a lot of people. Can you talk about the inspiration behind the song? We know it's about your grandfather.
Yeah, absolutely. The song really speaks to the tone of the whole record, I think. I really wanted to there were some things that I really wanted to say with this record and some things that I hadn't done yet in my career as I approached this record. I really looked at things I hadn't done yet and things I really wanted to do. And one of them was I actually had the idea for the song for a couple of years, but I knew that there's a great country song story about my grandfather and my grandmother and their love story. It's really one that I'm pretty sure we'd all aspire to have, you know, to be married nearly 60 years. And if you just saw them together, I mean, that's the way they are, the way you watch them and you see them in the video. And my brother and I would notice that. My brothers and I should say, would notice that. And
yeah. And
I had the idea for a while, but everything has its right time and place, you know, and when we started writing for this record, I brought the idea into a write with my friend Derek Rattan, and you know, it was just he was just the right person to bring the idea to. That's something that I've discovered along the way, is it's about that too. It's about the right you know, the right idea with the right co-writer. Everything kind of just has to come together, and we spent the whole day just talking about our granddads and that generation and you know, how important they were and what they mean to us. And we actually didn't even write anything in terms of the song that day. We just kind of got all the ideas together and just talked about our, you know, just talked. And then the next time that on day two when we came back and sat down, we kind of looked at our notes and we talked about how that, you know, those guys, you know, comb their hair like Elvis and pay cash for everything are very loyal to a brand, you know, and in my grandfather's case is Chevy, you know, and nothing else.
That's right.
You know, and that kind of just goes hand in hand with their, you know, convictions about things and, you know, and that's how it all came about. And I think that the reason it's resonating with so many people is, you know, people, there's a lot of, you know, thank goodness there's a lot of good Canadian guys out there, whether it be somebody's dad or somebody's granddad or whoever. And people are, you know, writing in saying, how did you know my dad, you know, that this song is spot on. And it really brings a lot of joy to my heart, you know, to hear that. And that the song has really touched people in such a personal way on that level. And I'm really honored to get to share their story. And it was a huge thrill to get to shoot a music video, you know, with world-class director and producer and cinematographer and everything. And you know, these guys work on several Lady Antebellum videos, and you know, here they go to small town Pembroke, Ontario and do a video with my family.
Yeah, it's a great looking video, Jason. Now, did you have to talk your grandfather and grandmother into being in the video? Were they shy at all or hesitant?
Well, you know, I was actually pretty anxious to call them. I was kind of, you know, we had already talked about it. It was the director's idea, you know, to go to my hometown and just put my grandfather in it. You know, I thought that would be you know, amazing if we could do that, you know. But I knew that would require some time and probably more money, you know, and spend some time up there. And I didn't know if the budget would allow for all that. And, you know, it was just great. I called them up and I told them that they already had they knew the song because I had actually played a different version of the song almost the Christmas before it came out. I had kind of debuted it at, you know, for the family, you know, just,
we always
gather together over Christmas, and we did that again this year and played guitars, and, you know, we all do that. But when I called them up, they thought it was just great. I mean, you know, it just sounded like another adventure for them. You know, my granddad's 78, so he didn't even hesitate. He said, well, sure, you know, and so it was. My grandmother was all about it, too. They said, well, that sounds like great fun, you know, and it's just, I love that. I didn't expect them to say yes so quickly, you know. They just, you know, I guess, you know, just chalk it up to another adventure, something that they didn't think that they'd be doing, and be in a video and to see it do so well. They tune in every Sunday, and they could see the video on CMT, and they're so tickled about it.
Doing so well on the countdown. It must be, I mean, that's what country music is all about, to have not only the song be inspired by your grandfather, but there he's in the video. It just adds so much authenticity to the whole message.
Yeah, and didn't they do a great job?
Oh, yeah.
I thought they just did a great job. You know,
great video.
Yeah, people were telling me, you know, where did you get those actors? And I'm like, those aren't actors, you know, those are my real grandparents, and they just did a fantastic job, and it came so naturally, and I know that that they were both a little bit tired at the end of the day, because it was a full day, you know, of nonstop shooting, you know, which is so amazing to me, you know, 3 minutes and 20-second song, you know, you got to shoot so much footage, you know, but that's just the way it goes, and they were troopers all day long. They were right there doing whatever the director, you know, wanted to do. If we set up in another location or try something different, you know, there's some other stuff that didn't make the final cut, you know, it just all, you have to get a lot so you can make sure you have all the right elements, I guess, you know.
And I like the last scene in it, your grandfather paying for cash in the diner, leaves his wallet, and a young fellow gives him back the wallet, which I took as being, there are still people like that these days, and those values carry on.
Absolutely. Well, I'm sure glad you did. That's exactly right. That was an idea that I had. I was really involved in the treatment of this and the whole concept. And that's actually my brother and his now fiance in the video. Yeah. And they're getting married this year. And I definitely wanted to create that element of hope, you know, that, because that's really what the song is for me, too, as a young husband and father, you know. It's my grandfather, you know, set the bar, and my dad does too, you know, but my grandfather especially, he's kind of, you know, the Papa Bear of the whole family, you know, so he really set the bar for all of us grandkids on where it's at, you know, how to treat a lady and how to kind of lead a family. And I got a long way to go, but at least I know where it's at, you know. And my brother you know, did a great job, and his fiance did a great job, and I hope that, judging from the comments on YouTube, people are getting what you're talking about, too, and they're inspired, you know, by that, too.
Yeah, it's really cool. Let's go back in time, Jason. I was reading that you started guitar at age 8 and songwriting at 16, and you come from a musical family. Can you talk about that early influences of getting into music?
Yeah, absolutely. I really get asked this question a lot, and so that was the other thing about this new record. With Life So Far, I really wrote a track number one is an autobiographical kind of song. You know, it really talks about the same thing that I'm about to tell you, how, you know, growing up, my dad had a band, and I got to go see them when I was a kid, because they didn't play clubs and bars and stuff like that. They played a lot of weddings and anniversaries and, you know, dances and stuff. So as a kid, I can go, you know, to the little community center or the little hall, you know, the type of thing that has a late lunch with the little square sandwiches and, you know, the whole deal. So I was able to go and see that, you know, and my mother had a ritual, you know, every morning she'd get up and she'd make a pot of coffee and turn on country radio. So I grew up you know, when I was 8 or 9, that was right around that time where great time for country music. Alan Jackson, Travis Tritt, Garth Brooks, Clint Black, Vince Gill, all these guys were just coming onto the scene. And shortly after, Brooks and Dunn, who I got to tour with last year, you know, it was a great, exciting time for country music. And so I was growing up on all that stuff and just getting inspired and watching my dad's band. And I eventually got to play with them a little bit when I was about 16, 17.
Now, I like the story I read when you were listening to the radio around the age of 15 and you started making fun of a song, I guess, in front of your dad, a song that you didn't think was written well. And so he challenged you to, well, okay, go and write a better song.
Yeah, that's totally true. There was some song, I don't even remember what it was now, but I was being, you know, I don't know what I was being about it, but I didn't like the song. And I was just like, I'm like, that is such a terrible song. And I was kind of ragging on it and, you know, and just kind of being a little punk probably. And he said, well, you know, if you think you write a better one, go write a better one. You know, that person's on the radio and you're not. You know, and he really just put it to me straight, you know, and so that's what I did. I started sitting down and instantly discovered pretty quickly, wow, it's okay. It's a whole craft to writing songs, and I thought I was good at it until I got better at it.
Right. So sometimes it takes the hindsight to know that what you wrote, you know, 2 years ago is not nearly as good as what you're doing now.
Yeah, you know, and just really learning. There's so many elements, you know, into, you know, there's technical rules about a song, you know, where the chorus should happen and where it should come in and it should lift at some point and, you know, it shouldn't be too long, you know, probably should be around that 3-minute mark and all that stuff when you're trying to write songs for radio and just finding an overall theme that anybody's really going to give 2 cents to hear, you know, so... all of that stuff, but then there's another quality about it that's just basic heart and soul, you know, and you have to try to balance the head and the heart together and make it all make sense and have people not lose that heart and have people care about it in the same way that you do. And so it was a huge thing for me to when I moved my family to Nashville in 2006 and just to immerse myself in a town that has just, you know, obviously the best country songwriters in the world, you know, and to go out to any little songwriter night and just have your mind blown by the level of talent and the songs. And I might add that there's a whole bunch of Canadian talent in this town, too. We all get together for, you know, Grey Cup games and stuff like that, and hockey games and house parties and watch and kind of congregate together and but it's cool. I'm happy to be a part of the scene and part of the country music community for sure.
Well, Jason, let's turn to the song we were talking about earlier. They don't make them like that anymore. Then I want to come back and ask you about some more things, including I'm going to play a clip of Victoria Banks. She was on the show not too long ago, and she talks about meeting you and recording Don't Leave the Leave, and, of course, that great duet from the two of you.
Oh, right. Yeah.
Awesome. So let's share the song now. Once again, Jason Blaine, They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore, here on In the Country.
Still combs his hair like Elvis, paid cash for everything. He'll only drive a Chevy, he thinks Alan Jackson's king. He knows everyone by name at the local hardware store. They don't make them like that anymore. Up with the sun each morning, hardly missed a day of work. Summer 1957, he helped build that Lutheran church. Leaves a man should work all week, save Sunday for the Lord. They don't make them like that anymore. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him now, I still feel small, and I'm still looking. looking up at him like he's 10 feet tall. Something about that generation. These days I think we need them more than we ever did before. But they don't make them like that anymore. He goes on and on about her casseroles, her clear blue eyes. He still helps her with her coat, still opens her car door. They don't make them like that anymore. Standing shoulder to shoulder with him now, I still feel small, I'm still looking up to him like he's 10 feet tall. There's something about that generation. These days I think we need them more than we ever did before. But they don't make them like that anymore. Elvis pays cash for everything.
Country artist Jason Blaine and his current smash that is called They Don't Make Them Like That Anymore. You can find it on his CD that's out now called Life So Far. You can also head to his website, which is jasonblaine.ca. Jason, can you talk about performing live and what kind of thrill that is for you, getting up in front of your fans at small venues or big venues and just getting that reaction from them?
Oh, man, absolutely. That's the payoff for me. That's the paycheck. I always tell people, I always play for free. They just pay us to travel. That's what it's all about for me, you know. All of the other stuff can be a little bit like work. There's three things I love. I love when we sit down and write a new song, and you know, I feel like, you know, something was accomplished that day. You know, painting a painting, you can stand back and actually look at, and you feel like you've built something, you know. And then
right. When
that song comes to life in the studio, you know, and that's because it's one thing to hear it in your head and have a little work tape of it that's kind of scratchy, and you know, you have the players. All the musicians get it just right. When that happens, there's another level of excitement because it's kind of reborn into the thing it's going to be. And then when it goes out to radio, you know, that's exciting. And all that's good, but when you stand on stage and there's, you know, a couple thousand people out there, or, you know, that show that we did in Ottawa, there was 15,000 people out there singing along to songs that I've written, you know, that's really where I'm reminded of, you know, the full circle thing, you know, that why we do this, and you know, that it's all that validation, you know, that it's a real thing and that it means something to somebody. You know, when I see people, if we're playing this song and, you know, they don't make them like that anymore, and somebody comes up and they're emotional because it made them think of, you know, one of their loved ones that maybe they lost, or just a relationship that was fractured, and, you know, or whatever the case may be, you know, just knowing that what we've made and what I've been working on has mattered to somebody. That's what it's all about.
Now, there's another song in your catalog from a couple years back called My First Car, another meaningful song, and there's a video for it as well, and it's something we can all relate to, and you really describe the experience of the first car, the memories of it, so well in that song.
Oh, yeah. You know, if it wasn't for the fact my hair was too dang long in that video,
<That's>
why didn't anybody tell me? It was crazy. It looked like a lion's mane. At the time, I thought it was cool. Now I go, wow.
That's the thing with videos. I guess now you can look back and see where you were at a certain point and maybe like it, or in this case, grimace a bit.
Oh, yeah. I've got so much of that throughout my career. It's like, God, what was I thinking? Or pointing my finger at the director. I knew I shouldn't have done that, or whatever. But it's all about, that's why this album title of this new record, Life So Far, it's me really, ending up in a good place, in my head and my heart. I'm comfortable with everything, I'm proud of everything I've done. I've learned and I made mistakes along the way, and I'm okay with that because, that's the only way you ever progress and learn. You can't be afraid of making mistakes along the way, and anybody who's done anything will agree, that it's all a part of the whole process, just try to do the best you can. But that song was really cool, and that was another one. I'm glad you mentioned that one. It's another one that really seemed to mean a lot to a lot of people, and kind of a snapshot in that special moment in time. For me, it was about spending way too much money for an 87 Nissan Sentra hatchback. I don't know what I was thinking. That was another one of those, what was I thinking moments, I thought it was a little 5-speed. I thought it was cool, and it was like the lamest car. Like the lamest car. It couldn't be any more lame. It did have three pretty cool hubcaps, so I will say.
Three cool ones.
Three of them. Three cool hubcaps. But it was, it was mine, though. I worked all summer. The reason I paid too much was because the guy at the car lot, little small-timey car lot, let me have the car. I gave him like $200 cash down, and he let me drive that car off the lot. And then every paycheck all summer basically went to him. So there wasn't really much negotiating there. I basically had to pay the overblown price that he wanted. Because I wanted it, and he knew it, Just dumb, just a kid. I was about 16, and it was mine.
Yeah, and that's what a first car is for us, regardless of how we might look back at it, rusty and not cool. But at the time, it has so much, I guess it's our independence.
Absolutely. It's like the song says, it was freedom and it was fast. And, I pushed that thing right to the max, and it really did save my life a few times because, kids, if you're tuning in, be careful with your first car. I'm probably really lucky to be talking to you right now. My goodness. But that was definitely that. It was that snapshot. It was that moment in time where, you work hard for something that's yours. And all my friends piled in, and I could go pick up a girl with it and, all that stuff. So I thought it made for a real good song idea.
I want to take a moment here, Jason, and play a clip. As I mentioned, Victoria Banks was on the show not too long ago, and I asked her about meeting you and recording, of course, Don't Leave Believin'. And here's what she had to say on the show, and then I'll follow it up with a little 30-second clip of that powerful duet that's so popular with listeners out there. So here we go. Here's Victoria.
We were totally randomly seated next to each other on the flight from Nashville to Toronto, and we didn't know each other at all. And he was heading up to Canada to shoot his first video. I think it was Rock in My Boot. And I didn't have my record done yet. I don't think I even had a record deal yet, but I had some demos. And so we did the whole, what do you do for a living conversation that you do with the stranger next to you on a plane. And we ended up swapping iPods and listening to each other's music, and by the end of the trip we'd just fallen in love with each other's voices, and it was really a neat sort of twist of fate. And I decided to make it into a duet right at the last minute because I had actually recorded it as just a solo song. And then I thought of Jason, I thought how great his voice would be on it. So I called him up and I left it. It was right at the very last minute. It was the last day of recording my record. And I called him and I said, Jason, first of all, would you be willing to sing a duet with me on my record? And secondly, if so, we would have to do it tonight. And I have a show tonight, so we have to start, at 10 p.m. And is that okay? And he was all for it. He was a trooper. So he showed up at the studio at 10 o'clock, and we worked until 2 or 3 in the morning and got the song done. And I'm really proud of how it turned out.
No, no, don't.
And there's Victoria Banks talking about that great duet with Jason Blaine, my guest on the show. Such a great song, Jason.
Yeah, man. Thank you very much for playing that and for bringing that up. That's so cool to hear Vicky talk about that meeting when we met on the plane. There's been many moments in my career and in my life where I'm really thankful to God, you know, for those cool little twist of fate moments, because we've since become good friends. And you know, what a random, completely by chance thing that we end up getting seated, you know, right next to each other. You know, people know how those planes are, those Canada regional jets. You know, there's a row of there's two rows, and they have two seats on each, you know, in each row. And so there's many places we could have been seated, you know, and just for us to be seated right next to each other, it's just like, you know, divine intervention. Here, you guys have become friends. And that was really, really something. And yeah, that's exactly the way it happened, just as she described. You know, we went down and recorded late, and I'm glad that the clip that you chose to play shows there's a note that I hit right towards the end of that clip that's about the highest note that I can sing, and she really pulls it out of me. I was like, I don't know if I can sing that high, Vic. You know, and she's like, oh, you can, and she pushed me, and that's one of my better vocals, because she's a good producer, and, you know, she really pulled that out of me, and that performance, and took it to another level, and it's a great song. She wrote a great song with her co-writers there. Happy to be a part of it.
Yeah, I know that so many of her fans and your fans love that duet. I mean, duets themselves are just so powerful, and that one just has all the ingredients, sort of bittersweet love and raw emotion, and it works so well in that song.
Yeah, and you know, every time we get together at Country Music Week, it's you know, one of those special occasions where we get to do that, where we happen to be in the same place at the same time, and we never miss an opportunity to play that song live together.
Now, Jason, if you could choose a duet partner, and I'm going to say from another genre, maybe to make this a little more interesting, is there anybody that comes to mind that you're thinking, boy, my voice with that artist who isn't country, we would go well together?
Oh, goodness, from another genre. Gosh, let's see.
Putting you on the spot,
yeah.
I'll let you also choose a country artist as well.
Yeah, well, definitely. You know what? I've actually talked to her about doing something. Amanda Wilkinson I'd love to sing with her someday. I think she's one of my favorite vocalists, you know, in any genre, whether it's, she can sing anything. She could sing rock, funk, jazz, country, whatever. And she's somebody that we hang out with down here, and you know, and I think that's a real possibility down the road. You know, we've talked about it before. I enjoyed this duet with Kathleen Higgins on the record. We wrote a song together, and I just loved listening back to the work tape. I loved the way our voices went together, and I said, you know what? I said, this should be a full on, you know, vocal event duet thing here, and she was gracious enough to not only sing on it, but actually engineer our vocals on the thing. She recorded us.
Really?
We didn't have to, yeah, she's a Pro Tools brain, and we didn't have to hire an engineer. She turned the knobs, and I'm not into any of that stuff. I always work with an engineer, but it was really cool to do that with her. I don't, you know, that's a really good question about doing a duet with somebody else. I could tell you, in other genres, people might be surprised to know that, like, I'm a... I'd be intimidated to death, but I think that Pink, the artist Pink, is really, really killer. I think that she's incredible, and obviously Kelly Clarkson, you know, is an amazing singer. There's so many. I'm just, her name escapes me right now, but Grace Potter, actually, there it is.
Oh yeah, she did the duet with Kenny Chesney, "You and Tequila."
Yeah, exactly. And you know, they'd be on my wish list. You know, Pink scares me a little, I got to be honest. she can get a little angry, but I sure do love her singing. My wife is my cool side. She has all the hip stuff, you know. She'll be the one who bought the latest Maroon 5 record, or Christina Aguilera, or Pink, and so we got that playing in our vehicle when we're driving around. And And I love it. Like, I love to step outside of country and listen to that other stuff, because that's at a level, you know, where it's just fantastic music.
yeah, it gives you a chance to listen to something new, maybe get some more influences or just get a break from the other kind of music you're doing. I wanted to ask you too, Jason, about Brooks and Dunn. You mentioned that earlier. You had a chance to open for them, and am I correct that you were the only Canadian act opening for them the last time around?
Yeah, on their last rodeo tour, that last leg of the tour, I was the only Canadian act that got to do that, and what a huge honor for me, because those guys, I would tell people, I mean, their music was really part of that soundtrack to my youth, and it was so bittersweet to kind of watch them do the video stuff that they did in the middle of the show, kind of looking back at their career. You know, there was one night, you know, I was a little misty-eyed watching that, just thinking, wow, what a amazing career they've had, and a friendship and a journey, and to kind of decide at the height of it, you know, I was thinking of Wayne Gretzky, you know, going out on a high, you know, and, you know,
right.
knowing when it had run its course and making that decision, how hard that must have been. But they were really, really cool to me. You know, we met and hung out, and it was great because I'll tell you a little inside story. The first night we started out, you know, there's these things backstage called the rider, you know, and it's your whatever, popping chips, in my case, was the first night. You know, there was a couple cans of pop,
okay,
a couple bags of chips in my dressing room. Yeah. It was a really humble little rider. And they, I guess they watched our set that night. And then the next night, there was all this stuff. There was more stuff. There was some beer, and there was a bottle of wine, and there was some more kind of different, you know, veggie plates and trays and that kind of stuff. And then the third night, there was a little more. And then by the last night, leg of the tour, there was like the big bottle of Crown Royal and some absolute another thing of absolute vodka, the big size, and several really nice bottles of wine, a thing full of Stella beer, and just a whole, we didn't even need all this stuff, but I really you know, it really meant a lot to me. It was just like, you know, they were, you know, these great guys saying, you know, good job. That's what I took it as.
That is a really cool story, a behind-the-scenes story. And Brooks and Dunn, of course, we all know and love. So many hits, as you said, and sad to see them part ways, but at least we've got their music. Another legend in country music, he's one of my favorites, and you had a chance to work with him on a song, Home is a Highway, and that's Steve Warner. Can you talk about working with Steve? Love his voice and his writing.
Absolutely. That was another dream come true. Another cool little twist of fate moment where my, unbeknownst to me, my producer who did Rockin' My Boot and all of the songs on the Make My Move album, he knew, because I had talked about, you know, I talked all the time and I do often about, you know, Steve's influence on me. My dad had played me the Small Town Girl record when I was starting to learn how to write songs when I was maybe 15 or so. And I ended up ordering all of his records, as many of them as I could get, from Columbia House. And,
right on.
Yeah, and so I had, because I couldn't find them in stores, and I ordered them all, and it would probably freak Steve out to know how big of a fan I was. I was learning guitar riffs and stuff and learning the songs, and I was performing his songs, you know, out in little fairs and stuff and with my little family band. And so I had, you know, my producer knew these stories, and he sent them my music, and Steve's wife Karen handles a lot of his day to day, and she gave the thing to Steve, and they both listened to it, and I guess he heard something he liked in it, and you know, Karen got back to my producer and said, yeah, Steve would love to write with Jason, and she said, you know what, let's get 2 days, because she said Steve talks a lot. I thought that was so funny and so cool, you know. So they gave me directions, and just, you know, I never really, to be honest, I did, you know, kind of dream that day might come, you know. I just kind of fantasized about, obviously, working with your heroes, who wouldn't, you know.
Yeah.
How cool would it be, you know, drive up to this big house and the gate, you got a buzz to go in, and, you know, it's just a really surreal moment to go, wow, like, I can't believe I'm actually here, you know. I thought about maybe getting to meet them, but not, you know, work
not
with
actually.
Them. And then,
yeah.
So we talked all morning. Steve made coffee, and we talked about, you know, him working with Chet and touring with Chet Atkins and Dottie West and then Garth Brooks, and, you know, working together with him and all that stuff. You know, we just talked all day, and we, towards the end of the day, we kind of started writing, and then we finished it up on day two. And then, you know, he was just so incredibly gracious, and really it was going to the school of how to treat somebody, you know, whenever you know, I don't know, who knows how far my career will get or whatever, you know, I'd never, I think it could go to such a level where, you know, Steve has won Grammys and he's an Opry member and he's worked with everybody, and only few people have done duets with him, like Garth and Brad Paisley and these
yep.
people. So, but after all of that, he went out of his way just to really make me feel at home and comfortable and cool and like it wasn't a one-time thing, and invited me back, and we actually wrote another song. The first song we wrote didn't actually make that record, and Home is a Highway did. And then he played guitar on it and sang on it too, and it was just a great time. And Karen made us some raspberry truffle, and I thanked her in the album credits for it. That's great.
I'm sure one of the songs that you cover of his or enjoy of his is The Weeknd. It's such a great song.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You had some fun for the weekend, and I'll
yeah.
be in love for the rest of my life. You took me out to the deep end, and I fell right over. I didn't think twice. Oh, yeah, man. I could
awesome.
Go on and on, but I don't know how long your show is. But I've got so many heroes.
Yeah, that was great.
Oh, man, I got so many heroes. Vince Gill is another one. You know, I just read the Brad Paisley biography, and it's interesting. We have a lot of similar interests. He just worked a lot harder on his guitar playing. I don't think he came out of his bedroom in high school just to do gigs. Because, like, he went and learned everything. Yeah, crazy.
Amazing. Let's play another song here, Jason. Just for the sake of time, I mean, I could talk definitely a lot longer. There's some great stories we're hearing. I'm so glad you're sharing them. But the next song from Life So Far from your CD is called On a Night Like This. What can you tell us about the song?
Oh, I wrote this with my buddy Dave Wilson's from the Meet the Wilson show.
Awesome, right on.
Yeah, and Dave and I became, he's another guy I became fast friends with down here, and that's the party song on the record. It's just about the way country folks party. That's, and I'll just let the song speak for itself.
Let's share it now. And I saw you on their show just the other day being interviewed. That was awesome.
Oh, very cool.
Yeah, that was great. This is Jason Blaine, and On a Night Like This here on In the Country.
Yeah.
It's a Turk getting drunk on the rush of that long, slow year. People fall in love like that. People fall in love like that. People fall in love like that on a night like this. Yeah, on a night like this.
Country artist Jason Blaine, originally from Pembroke, Ontario, and now living in Nashville, where he's calling us from. His brand new CD is called Life So Far. His website, jasonblaine.ca. And that's a great song from that album, On a Night Like This. Jason, that sounds to me like a future hit. It's got radio written all over it.
Oh, man, I hope so. It's just getting harder and harder to tell. I told my manager I'm just really turning the reins over to him and the label, you know, to pick the singles, because I recorded 10 songs on this record that I'm proud of. I love each of them for their own things, you know, in their own way. There's a song called Cool that we're looking at for the next single as well.
Nice.
That really kind of it speaks to where I'm at in my life and where all my friends are. And, you know, when you turn 30, and you know, I'm a young father and husband now, some of the things that you used to define as cool, you know, staying out late, going out to a bar or whatever, and you know, having a little too much fun, you know, it's not as cool as, you know, being you know, completely in a sober headspace in the morning to push your kid on the bike for the first time and not miss all those really the moments that matter and all of that stuff. And that's to me the cool stuff, you know. And and I think there's a lot of my friends that we're all kind of feeling that same way, and I'm hoping that that's really going to relate to a lot of people out there who know what I'm talking about.
Awesome. Jason, it's been such a pleasure having you on. The time has flown by. Glad we got to share the songs, and you told some great stories. I've really enjoyed this. Thanks for coming on the show.
Thanks, Dave. It's been fun, man. I appreciate you.
Awesome. Enjoyed it. My guest today has been country artist Jason Blaine, and his album you'll want to pick up online or in stores is called Life So Far. I'm Dave Woods, and that'll wrap up this edition of In the Country.